ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
Yesterday, we have completed the Ajatashatru Brahmana, where Ajatashatru was trying to convey that the nature of Brahman, which is full of bliss, and a glimpse of that state is easily understood when we study the deep sleep state. And then today we are going to start a new teaching, and that is called Maitreyi Brahmana. That is very important for us to understand. So this is the most popular Brahmanam. And there are some beautiful parallels. Some of the most wonderful ideas we get in this Brahmanam. And what are they? Before we dive into the actual text, I would like to give an essence of what the chapter really wants us to understand. And when we study these things deeply, we can understand how Sri Ramakrishna also conveyed exactly the same thing. So when the time comes, I will of course discuss parallelly. So what are the essential points of this chapter? Number one, God or Atman is the only source of bliss. That is specially this point, the source of bliss, Ananda, is only in God, in Atman, in Brahman, and in nothing else, in no other object. If at all we are deriving, any thinking we are deriving, some pleasure or happiness or joy, it is a mistake. Every object in this world is only a mirror reflecting our own hidden nature, which consists of Sat, Chit and Ananda. So what we are seeking really is Ananda, bliss. When we are running after any object, we are not running after the object. We are running only what we can squeeze from that object, and that object doesn't really have anything to be squeezed. All this effort only removes that curtain which is hiding that happiness from within ourselves, from ourselves. We are just removing with the help of the object that curtain, and that is what we call a mistake, that we are getting happiness from some object. Sri Ramakrishna gives two examples, many examples, but two. The camel chewing on thorny bushes, and a dog trying to chew the bone. That's a beautiful analogy. We get it. So God is the only source of bliss, Ananda Swarupa. And we love any object that we mistake that it is giving me happiness. The greater happiness we think is derived from any object, the greater would be our love, which leads to the conclusion, the moment we understand, at the moment we come to know, this object no longer gives me happiness, it will be thrown out like an untouchable, like the sugar cane that has been chewed, all the juice has been sucked into, like that we will not keep it for a second. Therefore, this particular Maitreyi Brahmana, it is called Maitreyi Brahmana, even though it is a dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi, no one loves any object, but for one's own happiness, which is already within each one of us. And then Yajnavalkya specifically tells, God realization is the only goal of life. Sri Ramakrishna's conclusion in his five commandments, Ishwar Sakhatkar, Ishwar Darshan, is the only goal of life. Fourth, worldly possessions cannot give immortality. Worldly possessions may help us to gain some amount of pleasure, that too under so many restrictions, but they can never free us from this limitation of time, space, causation. Immortality means moksha, mukti, liberation, whatever names we call. No worldly possession is ever going to give us. Mukti means happiness. No worldly possession can give us happiness. When a man is suffering from intense toothache, he may be the greatest billionaire in this world, but he will not be able to derive, oh, this is okay, but I have got lots of possessions, so that possessions will minus this pain. That is not going to happen. So nobody can stop growing old, growing diseased, and finally attaining death. No amount of possessions can ever grant us. That is why only Jnanam, Atma Jnanam, can help us. And this Brahmanam, Maitreyi Brahmanam, teaches us what is the way to withdraw the mind from these external and internal objects. And that state of withdrawal is called sannyasa. Whether it is external sannyasa, which is not very important, but more important is internal sannyasa. That is the ultimate stage of human evolution, which is to know that I do not belong to the world. The world also doesn't belong to me. Sannyasa, that is called sannyasa. As we all know, Hinduism divides the whole life into four stages. In fact, the whole life itself into four stages, beginning with dominance of tamoguna, lessening of tamoguna, increment of rajoguna, then lessening of rajoguna, increment of sattvaguna, and possessing mostly sattvaguna. These are called castes. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah, guna vibhagashah. Whether a person is dominantly sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, that makes his real caste, not birth caste. So, worldly possessions cannot give. Sannyasa is the ultimate stage. Everybody has to attain to that stage now or later. Realization of Atman, Brahman, Self means seeing everything as Brahman, knowing that there is nothing other than Brahman. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. And the next sixth point is anyone, man, woman, Indian, non-Indian, Hindu, non-Hindu, everybody has a right. Each soul is potentially divine. And the goal of life is to manifest to that divinity, which is called God realization. And to do this, as Swami Vivekananda squeezed the essence of it, either through Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, by one, more, or all of this, put it together and be free. This is the whole of religion. So in this Maitreyi Brahmana, the seventh point, there is a definite goal for every life. Even the goal of an amoeba is only God realization. But it has to go in order to become a fit adhikari, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. That is why so many chances are given. So what is the way? Shravana, manana, annidhi dhyasana. What is shravana? Cultivate satsanga. Hear good things. Read good things. See good things. Bhadram karnebhi shunuyama devaha. That bhadram means hear about God, think about God, see only that which provokes the thoughts of God. And then that is what Sri Ramakrishna says, cultivate holy company. And then he says, now and then, go into solitary places, that is called manana, where there are least number of obstacles, make the mind completely withdraw from the thoughts of past and future and focus on God. And that is called going into solitude. In solitude, think of the only Atman, Brahman, and Nididhyasana. Through the practice of discrimination, Viveka, Vairagya, etc., Nididhyasana means become completely one with reality, with Brahman, with Atman. That is called God realization. This Maitreyi Brahmana also is being repeated. For example, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wife Vishnupriya do? What did Buddha's wife Yashodhara did? They all followed the footsteps of their husbands. When Holy Mother came to Sri Ramakrishna, he explained to her what he wanted in his life. And what do you want? She said, I want to follow your footsteps. Whatever you want, that's what I want. You want God, I also want God. Yajnavalkya said that I am trying to enter into the fourth stage of life, complete renunciation, and that dialogue takes place. Maitreyi, she also said, will I get this immortality for which purpose you are taking to sannyasa? Will so much of wealth you are leaving behind for me and my co-wife Katyayani, will it give me immortality? And Yajnavalkya categorically, he denies and says, no amount of possessions are going to really give immortality, because the only remedy for ajnana is jnana. Obtain this jnanam, knowledge, either through bhakti, karma yoga, jnana yoga, raja yoga, by whatever means. In fact, every yoga involves all the other three yogas. Nobody can practice exclusively one particular yoga. So, if somebody is focused upon the form, emotionally involved, that is called bhakti yoga. When a person is able to withdraw his mind and focus, he develop his willpower, that is called raja yoga. When a person can worship everything as God, that is called karma yoga. When a person, through the practice of discrimination and dispassion, progresses towards God, that is called jnana yoga. So, every yoga requires all the other faculties, that is emotion, willpower, discrimination, and detachment. So, that is what we are going to see. So, Sri Ramakrishna tested Holy Mother. What do you want? Do you want children? Do you think Sri Ramakrishna is ignorant that Holy Mother will ask? Let me directly ask her if she wants children through me. And he said, I can give you. It's a marvelous episode reminding us of Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi. And Holy Mother said, no, I also want to follow your footsteps. Now, do you think Sri Ramakrishna was not knowing what Holy Mother was going to do? He absolutely knew it, but for our sake, he wants to test all these words. Do you want God or do you want worldly possessions? It is for our sake. Not only that also illustrates Holy Mother was not literate, and yet she was qualified. She was not in any particular way. She was a woman. Women also can recognize. We see in the Brihadaranyaka, so many women, especially Gargi, challenges Yajnavalkya, the greatest Brahmagnani, the greatest scholar. So, like that, Sri Ramakrishna also knew. Anybody, doesn't matter, Latu Maharaj, belonging to a shepherd's caste, Kanakadasa, belong to the lowest caste. All these people have attained Mukti, Nirvana, or Amrutatvam, because they were qualified. That is the point. So, man or woman, anybody any following any particular religion or no religion, but if they do the right path, follow the footsteps of the great, then they will realize God. That is a great lesson. That's why Hinduism is so generous. It doesn't want to convert anybody because it believes every path leads to the same infinite God. Infinite God has infinite pathways which can take anybody provided they want it. And they want only God, nothing else. So that these are the essential points, and as and when the occasion arises, we will also quote from Sri Ramakrishna. Wealth cannot give me possession. When Sri Ramakrishna says, Kama Kanchana is together, is called worldliness, exactly what Yajnavalkya was telling, that these things, they can give, under certain circumstances, some amount of pleasure and satisfaction. He is not saying they don't give. They will give, definitely. Dharma will give more punyam. More punyam means more sukham. But it doesn't mean that they will bring immortality. One cannot be attached to limitedness and at the same time desire that I want to be unlimited. If you want limited, then you cannot have unlimited. If you want unlimited, you cannot stop at the limited. We have to understand these things. So these are the essential points. Now I will go into a little more details of it. So this particular Brahmanam, this is called Maitreyi Brahmanam. Why? Because Maitreyi, the central figure, Yajnavalkya is only an incidental figure. Why do I call Yajnavalkya an incidental figure? Because we have to understand Swami Vivekananda's statement, when the field is ready, the seed will come. Was Maitreyi ready? If she was not ready, Yajnavalkya would not have taught her. And he was a Noira Brahman. Noira Brahman means directly Brahman. He is not somebody who is having the knowledge of Brahman, like we have the knowledge of a tree, a man, etc. Knowledge of Brahman means knowledge of God, knowledge of everything. And such persons know who is asking whether they are fit. Ramakrishna, as we know, used to tell, go and enjoy the gardens, because they are not ready for the teaching. Not because he did not like them. There are no likes and dislikes in a God-realized soul. So, this is specially Maitreyi. Anybody who is ready, if it were not Yajnavalkya, somebody else would have come and taught to Maitreyi. That is an important point we have to understand. Instead of going on weeping, oh, if only I get a great guru, then I would have progressed in spiritual life. Such is one of the greatest superstitions. Guru can give only what we are capable of receiving. No more, not even 1 billionth of a milligram we can add. So this is especially Maitreyi Brahmanam, how she was ready. And when the occasion came, she chose, like Nachiketa chose, between Shreyas and Prayas. So Maitreyi chose not to Prayas, whereas Katyayani meekly accepted Prayas. Prayas means Yajnavalkya was a very rich man because he was a great scholar. So many students used to come, and many of the students were from rich families, and the parents were very pleased with Yajnavalkya. They used to donate a lot of things. Janaka himself had declared 1,000 cows, and both horns of each cow are covered with a thick golden cover. And Yajnavalkya, even before the discussion started, have commanded one of his disciples to drive the cows home, because he knew he was not proud. He was not a person who is to be proud. A knower of Brahman can never be proud. But his absolutely assurance is there. Nobody is a realized soul here. Everybody lacks something. So I know Brahman, others do not know Brahman, like Ajatashatru has so much of assurance. So Janaka understood, this is not a scholar of Brahman, but he is a knower of Brahman. That's why he accepted. And Yajnavalkya also made Janaka a Brahmagnani exactly like himself. So that is what we need to understand. And Sri Ramakrishna gave by mere wish Nirvikalpa Samadhi to Narendranath at Kasipur on Shivaratri night, I think. Then that is called because Brahman can do anything. It was not Sri Ramakrishna. It was Mother Kali, who is none other than Brahman herself. So we have to understand these facts and bring in here, which will facilitate our understanding of this Maitreyi Brahmanam. So this is most marvelous thing we have to understand. So the central figure, the heroine as it were, is Maitreyi, and the teaching automatically flows. When a lake is dug, water will automatically flow. There is no need to invite. Whenever there is rain or whenever water overflows from other lakes, etc., straight they seek where they can be held. Maitreyi was 100% such a recipient. And that's why she is the central figure, heroine as we say. Yajnavalkya was only an incidental figure. Remember, incidental means if it was not, his name was Yajnavalkya. Anybody who teaches, you can name him as Yajnavalkya. Somebody or other would have come. And this Maitreyi Brahmana highlights sannyasa. And what is sannyasa? We have to understand. It is not the external donning of a ochre robe. Sannyasa means complete detachment with the knowledge. Everything is temporary, changing, and partial truth. Only Brahman is the ultimate 100% truth, satyasya satyam. Therefore, sannyasa is the readiness to become one with that satyasya satyam, which is Brahman. So, for attaining Brahma Vidya or identity with everything, self-knowledge, because karma kanda, ritualistic actions are limited, their results are limited. Since actions are limited by time, space and causation, their results are also limited. Limited efforts can only bring limited results. So Yajnavalkya teaches. Now the next point that comes is, what is the first point? Sannyasa. The chapter starts with Yajnavalkya statement, Are Maitreyi, I am about to give up this or expand myself from this Grihastha life into a sannyasin's life. He did not mention Vanaprastha because he was already a knower of Brahman. But why did he want to take sannyasa? Will it hurt or harm his Brahmagnana if he had not taken sannyasa, starts living? No. First of all, when a person becomes a knower of Brahman, which means he becomes one with Brahman, which means the individuality is no longer there, which means whatever that person does is the will of God. So only a Brahmagnani can say 100% Shokali Tomari Icha. Everything is your will, O Mother. So it is God's will. And then Sampradaya, tradition. Because every religion requires a Sampradaya, tradition. Tradition next to scripture. First God, then scriptures, then tradition. This is how the greatest teachings are coming down to us. So, the tradition has to be maintained. Why did Sri Ramakrishna take sannyasa? Was it necessary for him? He attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Even in the very first sadhana, intuitively, he realized Nirvikalpa Samadhi. But then to demonstrate, many people may mistakenly think, since Sri Ramakrishna achieved without the help of any teacher, I can also do the same thing. Many can fall into that error, like many devotees of Ramana Maharshi fell into that error and is likely to fall into error in future also. Ramakrishna wanted to keep the tradition. That's why Swami Sharadananda described so beautifully the day Ramakrishna took sannyasa. The Ganges was overflowing with joy. She was dancing. One of the greatest ancient rishis had again taken up sannyasa to revive the system of sannyasa again into this sacred land of Bharat. So this is what we have to understand. So it is not that Yajnavalkya needed to complete his knowledge of Brahman, but he was inspired from within by God to take up sannyasa so that he can inspire other people for whom taking up sannyasa is very helpful. Everybody doesn't become a sannyasin mentally, automatically. Very few people. So, gradual evolution from grihastha ashrama, then to vanaprastha ashrama, then unto sannyasa ashrama. And even in the sannyasa ashrama, our tradition divides it into two. Vividisha sannyasa and vidvat sannyasa. Vividisha sannyasa means the desire to realize God and so many obstructions, obstacles one might have to face if one lives in the householder's life or in the world. So, in the company of fellow sannyasins, it will be great help. That is called Vividisha. But Yajnavalkya sannyasa was vidvat sannyasa. Ramakrishna sannyasa was vidvat sannyasa. Vidvat means after realization, to keep up the tradition, to encourage, to inspire, to be idealistic to other people, then one can take to sannyasa. So this is what we have to understand. So he makes a statement, I am about to take up sannyasa life. That means I will have to give up both my wives, Maitreyi and Katyayani. But you don't worry, I am not going to abandon you just because for my convenience. I have plenty of money and I have equally divided between you. Both of you have accepted. In a way, Yajnavalkya knew about Maitreyi. He was testing Maitreyi. Then Maitreyi asks, what for are you going to take up sannyasa? Then he said that sannyasa, he must have said. We don't have it in the original mantras that even though I know what Brahman is, but for the sake of creating, continuing a tradition, I will have to take up sannyasa. Then immediately Maitreyi asks, can I obtain the same knowledge of Brahman, which is called immortality, mukti, moksha, liberation, through a possession, an enormous possession, riches of your property, etc., possessions, etc. And he says, there is no hope, neither in the past, nor at the present, nor in the future, not for anybody. Only sannyasa is the only way. Sannyasa is a mental condition which is accompanied by the peak of discrimination, viveka, the highest renunciation called vairagya, complete control of the body and mind, and the acquisition of all the required sixfold spiritual qualities, shama, dama, titiksha, uparati, shraddha, samadhana. And I want only God, nothing but God. Mumukshutva means like a person whose head is burning, has caught fire, and he saw a pool of water. Just imagine, what do you think this person will do? Even if God comes and then says, I am pleased with you, I want to speak with you, he will simply kick aside that God. Because when the head is burning, the first requirement is to keep it cool. Otherwise, God will also fly away from a burning head. So, Maitreyi had those qualities. Of course, Yajnavalkya, he was a vidvat sannyasi. That is the point we have to understand. And for that, sannyasa is the only way. There is no other way. So, this discourse establishes that sannyasa is the requirement. Then the next beautiful point, we are all seeking, every creature, every living creature, right from amoeba, is seeking only pleasure, happiness, etc. And we are mistakenly thinking worldly objects, worldly possessions can give us what we are seeking. No, they cannot give. On the other hand, not only they cannot give, but they stand as the greatest obstructions. And here is a point. So, the point is, as Agnivalka points out, that everybody loves only Atman, because Atman is of the nature of love. We have seen in the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka, fourth section, that Atman is loved more than one's son or one's wife and everything else. That is being expanded here, that everybody loves Atman. What is Atman? Infinite bliss. Nobody else loves anybody else, anything else. Everybody loves. So, every object we might mistake at the beginning, that happiness or pleasure comes from this object. But over the course of evolution, we come to understand that true happiness, first of all, doesn't lie in the object. Secondly, the object is only helping us to remove that desire. And removal of desire is equivalent to becoming one's own self. You are like a calm lake. Suddenly, something is thrown there and a number of wavelets will arise there. That's what Swami Vivekananda gives this analogy while discussing the Patanjali Yoga Sutras. In a vast, huge, calm lake, you throw a stone, immediately the ripples and are seen. At first small, then they spread and they spread and they spread. And Sri Ramakrishna is giving the example, when a huge ship passes through Ganga, the ripples are felt and they are so strong that sometimes they can even drown smaller boats or people. So, the ripple effect will be there. Now, Agnivalka is teaching that process that not only objects by themselves as their inherent property, as their nature, do not possess any, not even one iota, but they help us remove our own desire, and our desire acts as a cover of our experiencing our own Atmananda, self-bliss. So as soon as the cover is removed, we again experience that bliss, which is our true nature. So an object temporarily, in a very limited way, helps us to regain our own Atmananda. That is their function. But since the same object can also produce more attachment, therefore more ignorance, therefore more of a spiritual obstacle, they have to be given up. So, Agnivalka wants to teach that if I love you, I am not loving you as a husband loves a wife. I love you as God loves himself. You are my own self. Katyayani is my own self. If you are loving me, and Agnivalka gives a very elongated description, Nava are patyuh kamaya patihi priyo bhavati name are jaya. That is, the husband is not loved for the sake of the husband, but for the sake of one's own self. That means, for the sake of one's own Atmananda, the bliss which is one's own nature. Anything that doesn't give happiness, we immediately remove it. Anything that gives happiness, we use it as long as it yields that, or removes that cloud, that curtain. That is all its function. But in course of time, we understand that there is another way where permanently no disturbance will ever cover up this self-bliss. That is the point. So, that is the second point, is that nobody loves anybody else. The husband doesn't love the wife for the sake of the wife. So also the wife doesn't love the husband for the sake of the husband, but for her own bliss, to obtain her own, to regain her own last bliss. And then Yajnavalkya crystal clear says, Atman is the only source of supreme bliss. Therefore, the realization of Atman is the only goal of life. And this Atman must be realized. But how to do it? Through the threefold process of Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana. So by understanding that the self is everything, all an individual achieves Sarvatma Bhava. That is, a Jivan Mukta sees everything as Brahman only when he is associated with the body mind. But if he is not associated, he will remain completely with one mind, with Brahman. There he doesn't say Sarvatma Bhava, Sarva, everything is Brahman. There is no everything. When there is no everything, even that idea of one thing, that also disappears. So a state of wholeness when the Atman is realized and when this world, Drishya Prapancha, the perceived world is seen as non-different from Brahman. So why is this universe called Mithya? Because it depends upon somebody else. Very simple fact, often we forget. When I see a sweet, the sweet depends upon its very existence, upon my cognition. I see a sweet. If I don't see a sweet, I may see a snake. That's a different issue. So I see a sweet and it is very desirable thing. Again, that is my idea. Then if I get it, I'll be happy. Again, that is my idea. So it is my perception alone that brings the external world has nothing to do with everything. That is called the Srishti lacks independence. It depends upon Brahman. That Brahman is manifesting within us in the form of I consciousness. That is what Yajnavalkya taught. And what is the context? The Maitreyi Brahmanam appears in both the second and fourth chapters of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In this very Shukla Yajurveda part of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this Maitreyi Yajnavalkya dialogue appears twice. Now we are getting into the second chapter. But fourth chapter, exactly the same thing is repeated verbatim, excepting a few words difference here and there. Therefore, we don't need really to study that one once we study this one. And the repetition also highlights how important in all this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, these marvelous facts. We are all seekers of happiness. We are all under the mistaken notion that happiness lies in the objects that we are experiencing. There is no happiness in objects. They only help us in the beginning to remove the obstacle to experience our own happiness, Swatmananda. That is the point. So the central theme of this dialogue is Brahma Vidya, specifically the teaching of Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Bodhana. And I think just like Sri Ramakrishna made Holy Mother his own by loving her totally, and then even if she doesn't want, he would not have stopped until he inspired her into realizing her own self. So this also perhaps is pointing out every husband's duty is to awaken the wife's spiritual consciousness, and actually marriage is meant for that, to help each other as if husband and wife are co-pilgrims. They have desired to reach God. That is called going to God pilgrimage, and both are weak. So one helps each other physically, mentally, financially, in every possible way, helping each other, and that is the ideal householder's life. And Sri Ramakrishna inspired Holy Mother, and Holy Mother also served Sri Ramakrishna as the most obedient Sishya. So like that, every husband has to do. And about every good wife, Sri Ramakrishna also has to say, a Vidyastri, especially, he mentioned that word, she will not allow her husband to spend more money, because more money means he has to work hard, more work means he will have less opportunity and more distractions thinking about God. Every time she will try to inspire her husband to tread the path of spirituality. And many times if he is not sensitive for that idea, she herself undertakes beautiful hardships in the form of austerity to pray for her husband. I hope some bells ring in your minds, just like Navagopal Ghosh's wife or Kalipada Ghosh's wife came to Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, and he was a drunkard, lecherous fellow, immoral fellow, but she was a great chaste wife, and she obtained the grace of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother through her prayers, and as a result, he became one of the greatest devotees of Ramakrishna. So husband and wife, not only they have to inspire each other with spirituality, they have to do the same thing with what is called the children also. So ultimately, both of them, they have to reach that knowledge where I am not Jivatma, I am Paramatma. Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikya, Jnanam. That is the very essence of every Upanishad, especially this particular Brahmana. So, Shankaracharya says, formal sannyasa is necessary, and even as householders, one can take mental sannyasa and live exactly like external sannyasi, sannyasini, following only they don't don the robes of a ochre cloth. That's all. Then, of course, Shankaracharya goes on discussing that Grihastha Ashrama is the main ashrama for the performance of Karmakanda as advocated in the first portion of the Vedas called Karmakanda, and for that rituals are to be done and they are imposed, prescribed for every householder, and they are called Pangtam. Pangtam means a group of five. Five things are necessary if the Vedic rituals have to be performed by any householder, especially Hindu householder. What is it? A pati, a yajamana, a married, a husband, a wife, a son, then material wealth and spiritual wealth, which means scriptural mantras. Because four of these factors are exclusively meant only for householders. What is it common? One, that is, the scriptural teaching are common to brahmacharis, to householders, and to vanaprasthis, and to sannyasins. But all the other four are exclusively only for the sake of performing grihasthas, certain prescribed Vaidika karmas. Remember, this Upanishad is mentioning Vaidika karma, because of this Upanishad is thousands of years old. Nowadays, of course, we transform that yajnas, yagas as pujas. Even that requires tremendous amount of preparations, etc. And Shankaracharya utilizes some arguments how karma cannot give by itself jnanam, doesn't lead to mukti. For that he gives certain points. What is it? Karma cannot give mukti, immortality. Scriptures clearly state that the remedy for ignorance is knowledge alone. For ajnana, avidya, jnana, vidya is the only remedy. Ritualistic actions are prescribed for enjoying this worldly life, purifying one's mind, and slowly evolving towards that vanaprastha and sannyasa ashrama by experiencing unfulfilled desires, so that after knowing about the nature of those desires, one can slowly, gradually give them up. The purpose of Karmakanda is to purify the man's mind, expand his understanding, slowly make him develop detachment from the world, slowly but surely, and that is the main purpose, and lead him from Karmakanda to Jnanakanda. That's what we need to understand. And Shruti also encourages this one. That's why he says, Shruti says everywhere, karma sannyasa is a necessary thing. So, this is in brief what Shankaracharya wants to say, that it cannot give us that knowledge. So, what is the briefly the story of Maitreya and Yajnavalkya? This story begins with Yajnavalkya. He was a householder. He had two wives called Maitreya and Katyayani. Maitreya was a great spiritual aspirant, and Katyayani was a very normal household, attached to wealth, possessions, worldly happiness, etc. But she never made any obstruction to her husband, Yajnavalkya. So, he was a knower of Brahman, but he wanted to establish a tradition. So, he desired to formally become a sannyasi, not mentally remaining a sannyasi, which he already was. And then, one day he announced, I am going to take up the external sannyasashrama. Therefore, he called his wives and said, I am going to distribute everything, then you will not be lacking anything, even if I am not there. Immediately, the spiritual aspirant that she was, Maitreyi questions, you are quite a rich person, so many riches you are giving me, will it give me jnanam, atma jnanam, self-knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, will it give me mukti? Self-knowledge, atma jnanam, brahma jnanam, mukti, moksha, synonymous terms. Yajnavalkya categorically replies in the negative, explaining that if a person has wealth, it provides a comfortable, brings certain comforts, certain equipment to see that a life is comfortable. But if the prarabdha is not cooperating, if the person has to suffer, even all the wealth in this world cannot help a person at all. It cannot provide a happy, peaceful or immortal one. So he issues a profound declaration, vittena amrutatvasya asha na asti. There is no hope of gaining immortality through wealth. Immediately Maitreyi rejects and then says, what shall I do with that wealth by which I cannot really become immortal as you had become? And requests that he bestow upon her the spiritual wisdom that prompted his own renunciation. Maitreyi understood, he is a Brahmagnani, not only my husband, but Brahmagnani, and only a Brahmagnani can teach Brahmagnanam. I am not going to give up this opportunity, like Narayana Pandit understood Sri Ramakrishna, begged him of sannyasa, obtained sannyasa. He was the only sannyasi directly obtaining sannyasa from the hands of Sri Ramakrishna. Maitreyi said, I will not rest until I attain the same knowledge as my husband. You teach me what you know. Because Maitreyi understood that you reached the goal. So, I have not reached the goal. Please teach me. So, this is the brief story. And just one or two more points are there. We will discuss in our next class and then immediately go to the original text. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.